Earlier this month, Pamela Taji, director of Jacob's Pillow, wrote an op-ed in the Berkshire Eagle about a story she heard from a patron who attended the Beckett, Massachusetts Dance Center's June Gala. What she heard shocked her and forced her to reflect on how the institution could work to combat racism. Taji spoke with WAMC about the incident.
The gala starts with a cocktail reception. She decided she wasn't going to venture into the cocktail reception. This is a woman of color. She didn't see people that she knew, so she headed into the theater, sat down to read her program. A couple sat behind her, and a white couple, and the man of this couple that was a male and a female, the male reached out and felt her hair. She has beautiful, wiry, curly hair that is in a ponytail that cascades out, She was sitting there, and she froze. She didn't turn around. She just sat there, sort of stunned that someone did that. And then the person said, "It's too bad that they set us here, because now we're going to have to look over your head." And so she got up, she left, she ran into one of our staff members, and she amazingly decided to go back into the theater, saw the performance. And then at the gala, the performance is followed by a dinner. She went down and sat at the table that she was assigned to and, began to have conversation with people at the table. And a little while into the evening, a white woman at the table said, "What are you?" And she said, "What do you mean?" And she said, What race are you?" And so this kicked off a series of questions. You know, what she and I talked about was that the conversation didn't begin with, you know, "Who are you?" or "Tell me about you." It was, "What are you?" And that kind of a series of personal questions ensued, as in, "So what do you mean? So who is white? Who is black? What do your kids think of this? What did you decide to marry? A black or a white?" And it was that kind of that line of questioning that was quite simply inappropriate and objectifying. And she made the decision after about 10 days that she should share this story with me. Sadly, it is a story that adds to a collection of stories experienced by our staff members of color, who many of whom are these extraordinary students from colleges around the country who come to serve as our interns and find themselves in a setting where some people are ignorant and not sensitive enough to how one should behave in a diverse society. And so I think it was the fact that this particular story hit me very hard, and I decided it was a story that we as an institution should tell.
So as the head of that institution, when you hear stories like that and realize that those scenarios are playing out, you know, at this place that you call home, what do you do with that information? How do you proceed from those stories?
Well, first of all, many of us who lead cultural institutions are grappling with these issues. I want to be very clear that that all of us are grappling with what to do. I actually invited a conversation in my op-ed because we as an institution don't have all of the answers. There is not a clear path on what to do. I noted in the op-ed some of the things that we have done, established patron codes of conduct. We now have an announcement at the top of our performance, the same audio announcement that tells you, you know, where the exits are and to silence your cell phones. We welcome people to a place that celebrates dance and the importance of equity, diversity, inclusion, and access. So we are asking people to, as they're sitting in the theater, listen to those words and perhaps as a reminder. We now are working with a wonderful organization in Pittsfield, Multicultural Bridge. We've been working with them for 2 years to think about cultural competency on our campus. And some of our immediate next steps are going to be to equip our staff to how to respectfully shut down these kinds of comments and conversations, either if they are occurring, if they are happening to you as a person of color, or if you as a staff member observe a fellow staff member of color having this experience. The patron-to-patron monitoring of behavior is a little more complicated, and that actually is a systemic problem that we can only solve as a larger community with all of us seeking to be educated, frankly, on how to operate in a society that's increasingly diverse, with a sense of empathy, openness, appreciation, celebration of the diverse peoples that surround us. And so it's a work in progress for all of us, Josh, and that's the truth of the matter.
Have there been conversations among other heads of cultural institutions about this kind of conduct prior to this op-ed? We sort of raised the idea of a conversation.
I have not. I've been in the Berkshires now for 3 years. I have not been a part of a conversation like that, but I have absolutely received messages from my fellow leaders of cultural institutions who want to have this conversation a bit more collectively, which is very exciting.
There can be a perception of the Berkshires as being predominantly white, catering to an exclusive audience, and in general sort of supporting narratives about not being as inclusive as it could be. Are you hoping that maybe this conversation could maybe change those perceptions?
Of course. I mean, I will remain an optimist that we can figure this out as a society. It sure is difficult when the rhetoric is increasingly racist in the leadership of our country right now. But I believe that it's up to us to do what we can do within our home communities. The whole idea of acting locally. This is imperative right now, and so yes, I hope that if anything comes from this op-ed in terms of a larger conversation, I think that will be a great thing.